Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners. That means, obviously, in various times and in different manners. There's different times, different ways. There's a lot of different stories. There's different ways that God spoke to the prophets and spoke to man and all these different things. Notice, in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the Old Testament. That is literally, that's how God spoke to man, is that he would speak through a man. And God would obviously through what we feel is directly from God, he would go to men of God, have them write the Word of God. And that's how he spoke. We also find in the Old Testament that at times God would show up in form and literally in person and speak to people, deal with people, and all those different things. And we know that. That's how God had done that in the past. And he spoke through the prophets and by the prophets in times past. Notice verse 2. He hath, or hath, God, as it began the subject in verse 1, continues in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. We no longer have prophets. Now, I don't really care what anybody calls themselves. But I want you to know there's nothing new given now. The canon of Scripture has been complete. We don't go to a prophet to hear something new from God. That's how he did it in the past, but now that Scripture is complete, he now speaks to us through his Son. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is how he speaks to us through his Son. This Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. So you understand where he's going here. And then he begins to describe, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom, now we are told about the Son, Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Now we get to the end. It's all these things, who being and who this and who that, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's exactly where he is right now. Let's give the Bible in a verse. Let's kind of take it from the very beginning. You say, from the very beginning, yeah. And we'll do it briefly, by the way. And we're not going to read the whole Bible this morning, but we're going to try to put it in a nutshell for you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And Lord, you know, as you have led me these past 3 weeks, that I have been preaching about Christ. And Lord, I didn't necessarily say it's in a series. I didn't introduce a series. But Lord, I just have tried these weeks to give information, truth about you. And Lord, I'm going to try it again because it's what you've led me to do. And Lord, help us to understand who you are, what you have done, and what you are doing right now. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at these three verses, what can we surmise about Christ? Notice, if you would, number one, as we find in verse 1, it says that God spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. In verse 2, but now he is speaking to us by his Son, and then we are given the description. Notice first, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So number one, we see that Christ is the heir of all things. Now, this word heir literally means the possessor or the owner. What we often see the word heir as is that here is a father that owns everything and he has a son and he intends to leave all that to his child when he's gone. Do you understand that? Say amen. Amen. But there's a problem with seeing that word heir like that when using with Christ. Because God the Father will never be gone. He will never die. He will never leave anything. And so we see here that Jesus is the heir of all things, which means he is already the possessor and the owner. But I want you to look at this verse, and I'm just going to teach you this morning. I hope this helps you. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, and I know hopefully you can see it on the screens because I want you to see it. I'll lose you if I make you turn a bunch, but look at this. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Talking about us. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I don't see anywhere in there where we know we're saved and then we don't know we're saved. I just see in there that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, notice verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Say, preacher, what are you saying? Just so we understand it this morning, I want you to get this, and if you haven't gotten it before, you need to understand it. Why was Jesus made or appointed by God to be an heir? Isn't he God? Let me ask something. Is Jesus God? So why would he have to be appointed to be an heir? He is God. He is equal with God the Father. So why is he appointed to be an heir here? You and I have to understand something. When Jesus came to earth, he became man and God. The God side of Jesus is the owner. But because he was also man, God the Father appointed him, the man side, as heir of all things. Because he came to us, God the Father appointed him heir of all things, so that when he died on the cross for our sins, purchased our redemption, we are now joint heirs with him. He's the owner. And he's the heir. All the bases were covered. Wow. Notice number two in this verse. He says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now listen closely. Some of you are about to be a little bit surprised. Now there's nothing new under the sun. I'm not telling you anything that's new. And I'm not telling you anything that's not in God's word. But we have a tendency sometimes through tradition to think certain things that aren't necessarily doctrinal. Notice if you would, he said, notice this, by whom also he made the worlds. By Jesus, he created everything. Now listen to me. Critical to the theology in Hebrews is the fact that Christ created and sustained the world just as much as God the Father did. You have to understand, in the book of Genesis, when we're told how creation was made, God is a triune being. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When it says God did such and such, it means all three. Now listen to me. I want you to get this. He is the Son by whom God created the worlds. That means this, and there's a lot of folks that'll be they're used to thinking that just God was involved in creation. But I am here to tell you that Jesus was just involved in creation. You say, preacher, I'm not real sure about that. Oh, listen to me, dear friend. That's the truth. And I'm going to show you some verses, but that might be new. That might be in the thing that all of our lives we just considered, you know, God the Father sitting on the throne and he just created the worlds, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit had really nothing to do with that. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you these verses make it clear that Jesus was the one by whom God made the worlds. You say, well, I'm not real surprising of that. Well, Hebrews is consistent with the New Testament. And let me give you these verses, and they're on the screen. Don't you love it? John chapter 1, verse 3. We just quoted it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You say, well, how do we know we're talking about Jesus? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was that light that came into the world. You say, well, I'm still not convinced. Colossians chapter 1. Look at these verses. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. We know we're talking about Christ here. Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things what? That are in and visible and do you know that there are the 99% of our space we have never seen. By Jesus, these were all created. Notice this. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Are you convinced yet? Jesus created just as much as God the Father. Still not convinced? Look at verse 8 and through 10 of Hebrews chapter 1 where we're at. But unto the Son, it's on the screen if you need it. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. That means he is, number two, the one by whom God made the worlds. He is the heir of all things. That means when we're in Christ, we are now heir to all things. Do you get that? What we get in salvation? Not only that, just in case we don't know if we can trust that, he is the one by whom God created the world. Okay, you're starting to get a better understanding of really who Christ is. We have now gone from creation to him being on earth, appointed an heir. He came. Notice number three. He is, look at verse three, who being the brightness of his glory. Jesus Christ is, number three, the brightness of God's glory. Look at this verse, John chapter 1, where we've been quoting. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Notice this. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He is literally, get this, please listen. Jesus Christ is the physical manifestation of the glory of God. All of God's glory was put into the person of Jesus Christ. I think immediately of Moses, and you do too. As God told Moses, as Moses was frustrated with people, frustrated with circumstances, and even more frustrated with himself, He left the people doing horrible things, went to a mountain, needed something from God, and God said, I know you want my glory, but nobody sees my glory and lives. So I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by, and you will not see my glory. You'll just see the after effects of it. And you know, we mentioned that story a lot. That glory that he's talking about in Exodus is Jesus Christ himself. He is the brightness of God's glory. You say, what does that mean? You and I can't comprehend it. He is the heir of all things. He is the one by whom God created the worlds. He is literally the brightness of God's glory. Number four. That brings us to this point. If he's the brightness, if he is the physical manifestation of the brightness of the glory of God, notice what he says next. And more specifically, Jesus is the express image of his person. That means number four, that Jesus Christ is the express image of God's person. What in the world does that mean? Well, this phrase, express image, what does it mean, express image? Does it mean you turn in your film and it's done in an hour? What are we talking about here? That word express, it is literally the Greek word charakter. It literally means the exact imprint or the exact representation. It's where we get our word character. It's where that when we in a movie or in a play, that we literally take a part that's on paper and we literally try to become the exact image, the exact representation on a stage of the character that's in that book or on that script. Jesus is the exact image of God. Now, I might could try to find one of you and decide, I'm going to imitate you, and I'm going to dress like you, I'm going to try to talk like you, and it just might be that the right person, if I'm able, I could get up here and do whatever, and you might know, oh, he's talking about, he's acting just like so-and-so. Many of you have seen that I did an Elvis video. I was not the exact image of Elvis Presley, that's for sure. I might, yeah. In his later years, I was. Anyway, so I can act like somebody, I can portray somebody, but when you get right down to it, I'm not that person. So just in case you're doubting, he said here that Jesus is the exact imprint, the exact image, not just of God, but of God's what? His person. This is the Greek word hypostasios, and it's where we get a fancy theology term. It's called the hypostatic union, which is a fancy way of saying that Jesus is God. This word person is literally the word nature, and it means that Jesus is not just physically the image of God. He is not just through actions the image of God. It means that Jesus is the exact image of the very nature of God. That means there's no difference. They are the same. Jesus is God and he's man. There's no difference. Wow. So you say, preacher, I don't really understand. That means Christ is divine exactly as God is divine. That means everything that God is, Christ is. Let me explain it this way. Look at this verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. And we're going somewhere with this. In whom, meaning Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And all God's people said, amen. But notice this. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So that means that God's glory is in the Son, and the very express, exact image of his person is in the Son. So let's hear from the Son. Let's hear from Jesus. What does he have to say about all this? Look at these verses. John chapter 17, verse 10. Look at this, it's on the screen. This is what Jesus talking to the Father. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Jesus says, all that you've given me is yours, and all that you have is mine. And I am glorified in them. Jesus tells God the Father that I am glorified in the souls that I have saved. Yeah. Amen. And the souls that I have redeemed. When you see them, you see my glory. That means, listen, if you've been saved by the grace of God, when God sees us, he sees God's glory. He sees the glory of Christ in us. Nobody's excited about that. Imagine if he saw us for who we are. But he sees the glory of Christ in us. Now keep following. Notice this. I love this. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Jesus says, I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So when we are in Christ, we are one. Hold on. Later in this chapter, look at verse 21. It's on the screen. I want you to get this. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. Get this. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me. He is the brightness of the glory of God. The glory that thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Do I need to help any of you along in this process? The glory that God gave Jesus, Jesus has given us. So that we can be one with Christ and the Father. When we get to heaven, we're not just people that lived on earth. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are one. The Father gave the Son glory and he gave it to us. So we stand perfect in the sight of God because of the glory Christ gave us. Number five, we're almost done. Even though I'm way ahead of schedule. Some of you are like, don't worry about that, preacher. Just finish up. Okay. Number five, the upholder of all things. Jesus Christ, look at verse 3. He is the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. That means Jesus didn't just create. He didn't just become an heir. He doesn't just possess the brightness of God's glory. He is the exact image. He is the exact person of God. And he has taken the glory that God gave him and he's given it to us. But not only that, he upholds all things. Now, do you get that? He upholds all things. He keeps the whole shebang running. So I don't really understand this. Could this be hinting at the sovereignty of God? Do you think? What would happen if Christ stopped upholding all things? It would all fall apart. Listen to this. Does God somehow uphold some things and we uphold some things? It's not what the verse says, does it? It says he upholds all things. How about our salvation? Do we uphold some part of our salvation? I mean, is our salvation somehow still up to us? Do we have to uphold some of that? Well, dear friend, depending on the way you believe, If you believe that I can get saved by faith through Christ and then I'll lose that salvation, that means he didn't uphold you. That means you have to uphold part of it. But this verse says Jesus upholds all things. Job 4:4, thy words have upholden him that was falling. Psalm 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalm 41:12, as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity. Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalm 119:116, uphold me according to thy word. Psalm 145:14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. Amen. You all ought to say amen right there. Amen. Psalm 41:10, listen to this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He is the upholder of all things. Listen to me. I want you to get this morning. We need to quit trying to hold things up. We need to stop trying to fix it, trying to control it, trying to manipulate it. We need to stop thinking that everything in our life depends on us. He upholds all things. You say, well, I was done wrong in the past, and I just don't know that that's ever going to be made right, and they've just seemed to have gotten away. He upholds all things. It's not our job to uphold anything. We're not made to do it. We don't have the strength to do it. He not only created everything, he upholds it. Number six. You know what's coming. Upholding all things by the word of his power. This is my favorite. When he had by himself purged our sins. Greatest of all, I think, number six, he's the purger of our sins. That word purged is the Greek word katharismos. It's where we get our word catheter. It literally means a washing off, a cleansing, a purging, a purification when our body is not able to get rid of the wrong stuff in our system and literally the bad stuff. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm trying to find a good word here. Thank God for a children's church. Then a catheter must be applied so that we can purify that system. It literally means that our sins have been washed off. It means that our sins have been cleansed. We have been purified from the presence of it. He's the purger. Wow. But you can't get it all without this. When he had by himself purged our sins. Listen, Christ created with the Father. He ruled with the Father. He was the exact image of the Father. He represented the Father. He obeyed the Father. He communed with the Father. He even came to do the will of the Father. But when it came to purging our sins, he did it by himself. The Father had to turn his back. The Father had to deny the Son. There wasn't any disciple that helped him. There wasn't any family that helped him. There wasn't any of us Christians that had one thing to do to help him in this process. He is the purger of our sins, and he did it by himself.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirwinbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirwin broadcast today. God bless you.